calling of the mystic awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody.
We live in extraordinary times. Of this there is no doubt. The word awakening is used over and over to describe this epic pace of advancing insights and understandings into how the universe works. It's led us into innovation and invention unlike anything mankind has ever known. Hi, I'm Adam T. Gardner. Over time, I've become a whole food, whole herb medicine man. I'm the visionary for America's Medicine Wheels and creator of the Human Accelerator website. And I see myself as being just like you, filled with wonders about this amazing age we're all in. The Second Genesis Awakening one-hour radio show is going to bring it all home. Expose how evolutionary our lives can become every day. Your host, Deborah Bruentout, singer, songwriter, mother, and intuitive facilitator, is going to take you on a journey into the lives of folks just like you and me, who saw what was possible and took actions that have accelerated our lives into a whole and new reality. It's a level that, well, even our most advanced scientific insights don't realize yet how our daily lives can have this genetic activation of a second Genesis awakening and birth. It's written within the very fabric of our spirits, woven into every cell in our flesh. It's a truth we always knew was there, as its mysterious way transforms so many of our open hearts. Now, here's your host, Deborah.
And this is Deborah, and I love to welcome you to the Second Genesis Awakenings Radio Show Hour, which is a part of the Sustainability Regeneration Green Platform shows here on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. We are live on Boston and worldwide. If you have tuned in for the first time, we are a syndicated Boston-based internet station, and you can listen to us just about anywhere, whether you are on your phone or on Alexia, or with your car, in your car, with the Bluetooth. Today, I just got to turn this over as soon as I can. I am so honored and so very delighted to welcome to the show Margaret Wilson. She is a content creation of media relations. Margaret produces written content and handles media inquiries for Rhode Island Institute. Margaret earned her BA in political science, environmental studies from Franklin and Marshall College, and an MA in environmental policy, and I hope I'm saying this right, from Lehigh University. Previously, she worked on environmental policies and management in both public and non-public sectors. A little bit about Rhode Island Institute also. It is a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to pioneering organic farming through research and outreach for 70 years. The Institute has been researching the best practices of organic agriculture and sharing findings with farmers and scientists throughout the world, advocating the policies that support farmers, educating consumers about how going organic is the healthiest option for those people of the planet. Well, Margaret, we're so grateful to have you. I know you only have maybe 20 minutes or so because you've got so much going on at Rhode Island Institute, but We're just thrilled to have you today. And I have some questions for you, and I just want to go right into it. Can I? Hello?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being with us. You know, we took a trip and we went out to Rodale Institute in about 2016, and it was just, oh, I never forgot it. And it lives inside of me, and it's so much a part of the way my husband, Adam T. Gardner, Bill. But I would, when we went back, we bought a couple of books, and he had read so much about the history, the founder. But I would love you to describe the history of Rodale Institute and its place in the organic movement, if you will.
Absolutely.
With all of our listeners.
Of course. So Rodale Institute, we operate on a 333-acre certified organic farm in Kutztown, Pennsylvania. Kutztown is about an hour and a half west of Philadelphia. Our main focus is researching organic agriculture. Rodale Institute was founded in 1947, originally in Emmaus, Pennsylvania, by J.I. Rodale, and is widely considered the pioneer of the organic movement and the current global leader in the organic movement. Our founder, J.I. Rodale, became interested in organic agriculture just by some, you know, kind of hobby interest, and he put these words on a chalkboard, healthy soil equals healthy plants equals healthy people. And that,
could you say that again? I really like that. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah.
That was way back then. And yeah.
So this is right at our roots, no pun intended, but it was
right.
Healthy soil equals healthy plants equals healthy people. So that kind of encapsulates our mission that when you take care of the soil and you tend it using organic methods and kind of eschewing all non-natural and synthetic chemicals, you create healthier plants, which are then fed to people and are better for their health as well.
Yes, absolutely.
That's really what we're focusing on here. We moved to a farm, our current location in Kutztown, in the 1970s, and that's when we really began operating as a research institution. As you mentioned, we're a nonprofit, so our focus here is it's research, partly, also farmer training and consumer education. So those are sort of the three pillars that we're operating under here. We specialize in long-term side-by-side comparison studies. So this is taking organic agriculture and growing it right next to, let's say, grain or vegetables produced in the conventional way, and using our rigorous science to determine the difference between the results that we get. So
I was really interested in that.
Yeah, it's kind of the flagship of our work. The one that's been running the longest is the Farming Systems Trial, which has been running for nearly 40 years.
So there's a lot of things that you have learned to share with everyone, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we have, you know, we've come up with a lot of really groundbreaking conclusions from this research, and you know, we continue to expand into different areas and fields, and just keep really laying the groundwork for growing the organic movement.
And it is a movement that is happening, and I love that going into the history of it, because that was 75 years ago, and then to where you've moved and your expansion into what you've learned. So why is it so important to grow food organically?
Sure. So as I alluded to before, organic agricultural practices are built on the foundation of healthy soil. That's sort of the basis of organic agriculture, is keeping that soil as alive and as healthy as possible. And when that soil is healthy and it has a thriving microbiome and it has, you know, fungi in there and it has everything it needs, it holds on to more nutrients. And those nutrients then get transferred to the plants that grow in the soil, the food that we eat. And we eat that food, and those vitamins, those minerals, those nutrients then get transferred to us. So that's why we believe it's so important to grow food organically, because we really truly believe and have found that it is better for you. But it goes so far beyond that. There are so many different reaches of and benefits of organic agriculture. So obviously human health, improving the nutrients in our food, but also water quality. Agriculture is, conventional agriculture is a huge polluter of water, and organic agriculture reduces a lot of that. Climate change, organic agriculture sequesters much more carbon than conventional. Social mm-hmm. issues and the current farmer crisis that is out there, where farmers, can't afford the equipment and the pesticides, and they're getting sick, and, social issues that arise from that. Mm-hmm. Biodiversity, organic does not do monocropping, so there's just a greater diversity of crops on an organic field. So these are just some examples of the way that organic agriculture sort of benefits both people and the planet as a whole.
Well, I'm really loving the planet as a whole and the direction that you have continued to go for 75 years and are continuing now, even on the radio show. It's a second Genesis perspective that I feel very honored to have you share this with us. Just to feel this growth and expansion, and it feels spiritual to me at the same time, and yet it's so balanced, and so there's a lot of research I've been understanding, and some of that research projects are conducted at Rhode Island. Well, I call it Rhode Island. I'm used to talking to Rhode Island,
right.
And I got all excited. Oh, yeah. So what are some of these research projects being conducted there at the
sure.
Institute?
So like I mentioned, we kind of, I guess you can say, specialize in these long-term agricultural trials. So the one that I mentioned before was the farming systems trial, which is the original mm-hmm. study that has been going on since we moved here to this farm in Kutztown for over 40 years. And this is comparing organic and conventional grain crops, so corn, wheat, things like that, and seeing, the relative benefits of doing it organically versus conventional. And that's sort of the theme through all these trials. We're also working on a vegetable systems trial, which is one of our new.
Yes, you are. I loved your vegetable garden.
Yeah. It's entering into its second year now, but we're planning to run this trial in a similar vein to the farming one for over 20 years. So this is comparing nutrient density in organic and conventional vegetables. So this is really trying to drive home that point that we say that organic vegetables are more nutritious than conventional ones. Mm-hmm. We're also working on a study of water quality, so a long-term study that's going to run for over 6 years of the side-by-side effect of organic and conventional on water quality. And that's happening at a partner site near us. So we have a whole setup on a sloped landscape where we can study the effects on runoff and water quality in the Delaware River watershed specifically. And then we're also reaching out, it's in its second year as well, into industrial hemp.
I was reading that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hemp just became sort of approved as an agricultural commodity in the 2018 Farm Bill. So hemp, especially in Pennsylvania, was a very lucrative crop for many, many years. But around the 1930s, it became banned because of its association with marijuana. So hemp has not been grown in this region or really throughout the country for around 80 years. But it's just starting to come back into the fore, and that's why we're doing this research on hemp, because we want to serve as a resource for any farmers that want to organically grow hemp moving forward. So we want to kind of bridge that gap between people who want to grow it and the fact that there isn't a lot of recent knowledge about it.
Right. And so I love that what you're doing in the educational process of this research, that you can expand that, and I know that the research will continue to go on. And so sometimes it's like some herbs or some plants get what we've said when we were with the Smithsonian and did a show with the Lumbee tribe, that some of the herbs from the indigenous have gotten a bad rap, like hemp. And now you're saying, well, let's slow down now and let's do some research with this too. So that's really nice. I like that. So I was also wondering about how does organic agriculture help mitigate climate change? I know that's possible, but how's that happening?
Sure. So this is one of actually the biggest benefits that we talk about in organic agriculture. Mm. We produced a white paper a couple of years back that concluded that if all the farms globally transition to an organic system, we could sequester 100% of the carbon in the atmosphere, which is huge considering the climate crisis we're in right now.
Yeah.
So basically, a little bit of a kind of explanation of that. Very briefly, because it's much more complicated than I'm going to make it sound.
Well, I know that it's very complicated. I was later on going to go into, you know, what the Wikipedia says, what carbon carbon is, and what our footprint, that's the new one. So I was going to go into the carbon footprint, and it really is a lot to go into. With all the research. So I'm very fascinated, and I hope, as we spoke, that there's a possibility or an opening, because everyone's so much into the research right now, and especially with spring and all, that maybe someone can come on in a little bit, and we can continue finding out more from you. I would love that for our listeners, and that you came on so gracefully with us. I have how can people at home, like myself, what we're doing, how do we support the organic movement? Where do we begin? How does this happen? And I know you've got to go, so we have just maybe a minute or more.
No worries.
But I'm just so delighted to have you.
Sure. So just real quickly, the best and probably the first way to support the organic movement is just to buy organic. We need to continue to show that there's, you know, consumer support out there, that people are willing to pay the premium that exists right now for these planetary and health benefits, and that will continue to grow the sector and the movement and eventually make it more accessible to more people. But you can also just educate yourself about these issues and the benefits of organic. Rodale Institute conducts webinars, workshops, events. We have a very extensive website explaining most of what I just talked about, rodaleinstitute.org, where people can go and learn a little bit more about the work we do. So it's really important to learn about these issues and to, you know, speak to your friends and family about them. You can also look for products that are, one, USDA certified organic, but a new standard that Rodale Institute is working on putting out with Patagonia and Dr. Bronner's is the regenerative organic certification. So this certification is aiming to go above and beyond certified organic to include not only soil health, but animal welfare and social fairness in growing practices. So that is in a pilot phase right now, but soon that label will be on shelves. We're also just launching a Rodale Institute approved label, which is basically just our seal of approval on brands and products that really do their best to employ the values that we want to see out in the agricultural space. So if people are interested in, you know, buying things that Rodale Institute supports, that's a great way to do it. Those things are hitting shelves this spring. And then just generally supporting the work of institutions like Rodale and others that are doing research in this space, and you know, supporting the work that we're doing and allowing us to continue moving forward and conducting these trials for decades and really getting the most important and relevant results that we can.
For our planet. And I just want to thank you so much. There's so much that you have, and so much that I really enjoy your spirit and just all that you're sharing with us. Would you give us one more time the website? Just really nice and slow so everybody can just grab that.
Absolutely. It is RodaleInstitute.org. And Rodale is spelled R-O-D-A-L-E.
And Margaret Wilson, I just thank you so much for coming on with us. And I hope to have you on or others that you would recommend in the future with the Second Genesis Awakenings radio show. I'm your host, Deborah Bruintout, and we'll be right back. Thank you so much, Margaret.
Thank you.
Adam T. Gardner here with thehumanaccelerator.org. Just wanted to let you know we've got a wonder-filled curriculum put together. The website's a gathering place for what's called our We Community. We're working to build America's medicine wheels, where you'll be able to sample the most advanced regenerative medicine and lifestyles ever known. But you don't have to wait for us to finish the building in order to begin your adventure into insights and understandings that'll be at our completed cultural center near Zion National Park. You can join the We Community for free. We've got over a dozen videos to share about us, about life, about the possibility that mankind now has to live free of all sickness and disease. That's thehumanaccelerator.org. See you there. Adam T. Gardner here with thehumanaccelerator.org, just letting you know we've created what I like to call the B movie. It'll make you laugh, I promise. It'll make you sigh with relief. It's finally here, this truth whose time has come. We've divided it into segments for easier viewing, which lets you zero in on thoughts you're attracted to so it can be played over and over during those periods. It's an evolutionary sharing that'll leave you transformed in ways you never could have imagined. Becoming a whole food holder medicine man over a 3-decade period, I share cutting-edge ways of living that'll seem new because of the modern insights we have, yet it's an ancient lifestyle genetically and epigenetically wired into every cell of the human body. Go to thehumanaccelerator.org and take the ride of your life.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And welcome back to the show. We've just been listening to Margaret Wilson with Rodale Institute talking about many things, which is the history of organic movement and 75 years of being in that movement and bringing us up to where we are now with the research and what they've been finding and how the plants and everything is growing together and the animals. It's really a lot. They've also been going into, they're starting the new project, as you learned in the last 2 years, with the vegetables being a part of it and the gardens, which Adam T. and I went out to Rodale Institute. It was in 2016 when we were going back to be with dear friends, and which was just a delightful trip for us. And we had to stop and see Rodale Institute because this has been a love of Adam T. Gardner's, even way back when I first met him. He just loved everything about the movement, and I can see why. It's wonderful, all the progress that is happening with this movement and our all of our consciousness. And so I was going to go into today, as Margaret was talking about, Margaret, about our carbon, I spoke into it a little bit about carbon and what their findings are. But I wanted to define in the Wikipedia, because you hear so many times carbon footprint, and it's a big conversation right now. And I wanted to read to you and to myself first, because it can be so complicated, and that we could really read it together about what Wikipedia is saying about carbon footprint. So here we go. A carbon footprint is historically defined as the total emissions caused by an individual, event, organization, or a product expressed as carbon dioxide equivalent. Greenhouse gases, GHG with a little s, including carbon dioxide. It can be emitted through land clearance and the production and consumption of food, fuels, manufactured goods, materials, wood, roads and buildings, transportation, and others. Services. In most cases, the total carbon footprint cannot be exactly calculated because of the inadequate knowledge, and Margaret was just saying that there's so much research going on at the Rodale Institute right now, the inadequate knowledge of data about the complex interactions between contributing processes, including the influence of natural processes that store or release carbon dioxide. For this reason, okay, this is the Wikipedia, Wright, Camp, and Williams have suggested to define carbon footprint. I'm also thinking of an imprint. A measure of total amount of carbon dioxide, CO2, and methane, CH4, emissions of defined population, systems of activity, considering all irrelevant, very relevant sources, sinks and storage within the spatula of temporary boundaries of the population. Something to think about, sinks and the spatula of temporal boundaries of the population, systems of activity and interest calculated as carbon dioxide equivalent using the irrelevant 100 years global warming potential, GWP 100. Well, that's a lot just to even think about and be with, but most carbon footprints emissions for the average U.S. household come from an indirect source, fuel burned to produce goods far away from the consumer. These are distinguished from the emissions which come from the burning fuel directly in one's car or stove, commonly referred to as a direct source of the consumer's carbon footprint. I mean, there's just so much. It goes into the ecological footprint that the studies were started by William E. Reese and Mathis Wackernagel in the 1990s. The according approach companies how much demand compares to that of the planet can review. I mean, it's just a lot. But there is a consciousness of what is your carbon imprint. Well, there was a talk, it was on TED Talks, and it was about the methane And it isn't just cow that are burping or flatulent. It was on TED Talks, and it caught my eye. And other weird facts you didn't know about is the potent green gas. But what is our imprint, and what is it that we learn about? Because it could be the chance that global warming is an environmental. It could be, it said. It's just interesting that the population is one quarter of the global warming that we are experiencing right now, and that the environment, according to the TED Talk with Fred Crump, you might just want to go and look at this, but if you check, it says you can launch a satellite to track a deadly green gas. So it's just an education, things to think about, things, most of all, what I loved about being with Rodale is that there's scientists that are doing the research right now on so many of this, and so much to learn. Years ago, we would go out a lot into the farmlands, and being in Utah, of course, it's nothing but farmlands, and there's the industry of the meat, and it's a lot to consider of just being with one-third of all the methane emissions. There's just so much to be with of the rate, the rapid rate, and all the pipelines, the natural gas. And I mean, it's the contribution of all of this, but it specifically is your own imprint and about you. And this is just a perspective. It is a time of education for each and every one of us. Things are changing, and it's time that we be a part of that change. And so another thing that they were talking about was a strange source of methane, and another reason to consider banning plastic bags. In the study it published in August of 2018, researchers from the University of Hawaii at Manoa were curious about Oahu, about what would happen when different plastics were heated by sunlight and soaked in the seawater. They discovered that many kinds of plastic, especially polyethylene, the materials used in grocery bags, emitted methane, which exposed to light continued to release even in the dark. When submerged in salt water for 152 days, the plastics also secreted methane. The results occurred in the laboratory. But that raises the question, is all the plastic trash dumped in the landfills and the oceans also releasing methane? So it's just a time of education. And more than anything, my invitation as a second Genesis perspective is that it's time for a balance. It's time to be stable, equilibrium. You know, balance is that sometimes we say, I tripped, I lost my balance, and we want to get our footing. So being with the carbon footing, you know, being with all of what we eat, how food conscious are we? That's a big one right now. And that's why we're doing the show here from a second Genesis perspective, because we eat a total plant-based diet from the plant kingdom, and have, for, as you know, Adam T. for 40 years, and myself for 20. And it's really a wonderful balance. It brings a lot of peace. And it just feels really good, not only for our health, but there is a spiritual nutrition. I like to say the plant kingdom is alive. But in almost every culture, food has played a dual physical and spiritual role, with many rules that have been handed down, the Jewish traditions of eating pork, the Hindu forbidden to eat beef. Many Native American tribes prohibit eating foods that are not sacred. There's definitely a converse of these spiritual foods. And the indigenous ceremonies are often based on stringent rules regarding what foods to serve. While conducting their ceremonies in Peru and the shamanic in Peru. And so there's a lot to be with about the medicines man purification diet. Well, here at the Second Genesis perspective, we do refrain from salts and sugar and no meat, actually. And we have found, because when you are your own backyard scientist, as it says in the book, the Second Genesis Passage to Spontaneous Regeneration, you know, you get to find out your body is your imprint. When you really think about the elements that we are all created from, and we really slow way down and realize what we're feeding ourselves as carbon and all of the elements and minerals and air, fire, earth, and water, that we literally are created in such an incredible healing spiritual way that it knows how to heal itself. So that's a little bit about what to drink and what to eat. But we just invite you to be your own experiment and to conduct this to see how you feel and give it time. And this is to attune to how you feel with your body, mind, and soul. It's your own intuition. You slow down, you listen, you pay attention to the messages of your body, the signs, the body, and just all of the good things. So I did want to go into food consciousness and what is your carbon imprint. There are a lot of times that I have found in my own scientific research with my flesh, a spiritual intuition and nutrition, is that I'm feeling a lot more peace. That's a lot to be said in this world right now. And a lot of gratitude. I find that the emotional release from eating and the purification and the detoxing is very powerful. Plus the research with Adam T., over the years, and I just love living with him. I do. It's just so phenomenal to experience and watch and see the extraordinary health and wellness and working with the body, working with the earth. There's so much. I loved also what it was said with Rodale Institute, with the founder, who he talked about the soil, and that's the relationship first. And so because we are of this planet, there's just so much that all of this is combined. And I think that this is my perspective, is that We're more together than we know, and that as a whole, we can celebrate the diversity, but we can also begin to conducting these choices and go within and really have these relationships with the earth and the time of organic agriculture, and just think at a natural pace. There's a natural way. So I'm really going into balance right now, into the possibilities for this planet, because the planet of your health is a healthy planet, a healthy body, healthy agriculture, a healthy way of being in one with each other, and a deeper appreciation of gratitude and grace every single day. So I just invite you all to be with what's been spoken today. I know that I'm very excited just to be speaking with people who are having those researches. And I know that here at the humanaccelerator.com and what we are about, and you can go to our website and learn about our vision, which is pretty well a vision that is very similar, and that of supporting the organic movement. We're all organic, and I think it's time that we all really stop and look at how can I support. I loved what Margaret said about being in support. The one thing that really stood out for me, because I was in a conversation with someone yesterday as we were getting our organic watermelons and looking at the avocados that really are grown more organic than most, but I still love to get mine organic. And the reason I said that I love to get my organic was just exactly what Margaret had shared, is that that's how we support this organic movement, that it's with every bite we take. And there's also, I wanted to just get into a little bit of advertising, which, you know, advertisers, if you watch advertisements, it's it can really mislead you. And you really have to take it with a grain of salt, because there's a lot of money being spent by corporate that might not be with the fullness of this movement of conscious food. And it doesn't seem to be, because there is a lot of myth busting. I know that I learned about myself that I my whole life is about, I just don't like to live in a world that you can't say it the way it is, or there isn't an opportunity to discover this incredible what I am and why I'm here. So I'll be right back. This is your host, Deborah Gruentel, with the Second Genesis Awakenings radio show on Dream Vision 7 Radio. And thanks for joining us.
Adam T. Gardner here with the humanaccelerator.org, just letting you know we've created what I like to call the B movie. It'll make you laugh, I promise. It'll make you sigh with relief. It's finally here, this truth whose time has come. We've divided it into segments for easier viewing, which lets you zero in on thoughts you're attracted to so it can be played over and over during those periods. It's an evolutionary sharing that'll leave you transformed in ways you never could have imagined. Becoming a whole food holder medicine man over a 3-decade period, I share cutting-edge ways of living that'll seem new because of the modern insights we have, yet it's an ancient lifestyle genetically and epigenetically wired into every cell of the human body. Go to thehumanaccelerator.org and take the ride of your life.
And welcome back to the Second Genesis Awakenings radio show. I'm your host, Deborah Bruentout, and today we are been graced with Margaret Wilson with the Rodale Institute, and we're talking about now, are you food conscious? What is your consciousness when it comes to food? Also, we've been talking about what is your carbon imprint and what is the definition of a carbon imprint. As Margaret had talked about earlier, that's a whole nother research happening, and I find it's happening right now. That's why there's so much going on with all of our discussions, and sometimes our minds get so confused. But I'm again saying it's time to release the confusion and this consciousness and this food consciousness, and just taking time out to all of us get reacquainted with this new experience that we're all in, and really taking it to task with ourselves. And so that's the perspective we live in, is that we really are responsible for what we consume, what we put into our mouths, what we think. And we have found that our emotions have changed, that what we eat is a biochemical experience. So the more you purify, the better it is with your body. You feel so much more alert. And, of course, you get to live a life free of sickness and disease. Just to even be in the thought to conceive a life free of sickness and disease. Well, Adam T. Gardner says, and I witness it, that he has not had the cold or a flu or anything for over 30 years. And so he knows that it's possible. But your consciousness changes because you're looking and you're experiencing the body as a beautiful experience, releasing all those negative emotions. And what I have found, and so have many people that are eating an all-organic plant-based diet, or at any level that they are, that they're food conscious, and they are saying, and I'm noticing in them, they're happy people. There's a lot more to that, because the intelligence of the plant kingdom gives itself, it's an intelligence, and it knows what to do. It's living, it's imprinted. It has an imprint, as we're talking about our carbon footprint, and I'm calling it your carbon imprint. So it's the good news that we can now, I invite us all to discover all the new possibilities of how you can support an organic movement. And that's what I'm about, and that's what we're about. It's more than that. It encompasses like the spiritual, like nutrition, and all the rest. So I'm really excited, as you can tell. Also, as many of you know, on our website we have what Adam T. Gardner put together at thehumanaccelerator.com is the Bee Movie. I love the Bee Movie. It's got many segments, so they might go for 13 minutes, maybe 10, so that if you're in your car or wherever you're at, you can listen to them on your cell phone. They're there for you at any time to watch, or just to bring yourself to the awareness of a whole nother way of being. It's talking about epigenetics. It's talking about all the plant consciousness. It's talking about the revolution that we went through in the industry of our parents, and where we went through the rationings with the Second World War. And now we are moving into this, what we're saying is the second Genesis awakening. And it's happening. It is happening everywhere we turn. And it's a good thing. It's a time where the food we eat is a powerful medicine. It always has been. When we eat out of the box, into the garden, that's what I've always said, that eating from the garden is absolutely a living imprint. It's the food, the soil, and all organic. It's definitely a relation that is absolutely like nothing I've ever experienced before. And back to those farmers and the ancient ones, and there's so much life, and to live it more abundantly. So I wanted to say a little bit about who's coming on in the next few months. We have many more who are joining us on the Second Genesis Awakenings radio show, and I'm delighted that we get to have Ocean Robbins, who is here to come on with us and share all about his movement, the revolution, and all about the food revolution right here, right now. In fact, I just barely was on what they had last week with Ocean Robbins and John Robbins, and it was all about the food revolution. So I'm just so delighted that Ocean said that he would come on. So next show, which will be in June, then he's coming on with all kinds of wonderful things to share with us, all about his book. And his title is 31 Day Food Revolution. And we're all excited with so many questions that I have for him. It's 31 Day Revolution, Food Revolution, Heal Your Body, Feel Great, and Transform Your World. And so we'll be doing that. And it's an exciting thing to be in asking ourselves to what we are. A lot of times, Adam T. Gardner and myself, and I've thought this so many times, we don't even, as a planet, can really say where we agree on what constitutes food. And so I'm really excited because our perspective is very much about what we feel is what constitutes food, is what we're experimenting with our own body, spirit, mind, and soul, and an organic plant-based diet. So it's nice to be having some others who are joining us on this time of this great awakening of this planet. Because this planet is where we live. Our body is number one, our children, and our children's children. And I feel that it's an exciting time just to release all that negativity and begin to be with one another and come together in a way that we really are making a difference. And we're making a difference for our children, ourselves, and just feeling good. You know, I am an immortalist. And I also have been told that I'm an eternal, absolutely an eternal optimist. So I do have an eternal optimistic viewpoint about this earth and where we're headed. And that's why I love being a part of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network and all those that are sharing this love and this beautiful planet. So I invite you to join us next time as we discover more about food consciousness. We'll be talking about all kinds of wonderful things with Ocean Robbins. And again, the Food Revolution seminar, it was the summit, was when I got to talk to Ocean. It was extraordinary to listen to all of those at the summit and be a part of that movement. So we'll be talking more about that. So be sure and tune in and join us next time for the Second Genesis Awakenings. I'm your host, Deborah Bruin-Tout, and thank you. And make it a most beautiful month of healing, regenerative, and discovering who you are, your consciousness of food, and what is your carbon imprint, your carbon footprint. Have a great day. Thank you.
Join us next time as the Second Genesis Awakening unfolds further mysteries into how our lives can be transformed through ancient insights and modern understandings of how the universe works upon us and within us.
Now remember, the show broadcasts every Monday on DreamVision7Radio.com at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. In the meantime, you can catch me on my website anytime. Call in allangels.com. I've written a number of songs, and they're available for download on my website. That's callinallangels.com.
The Second Genesis Awakening has been a production of thehumanaccelerator.org, your We community, working to build America's medicine wheels.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.